All right. So I'm going to finish up today a three-part series that we started on honor. And then Jeff's going to pick up the series next week on biblical storyline. And so, but I'm excited because the first week we preached on the spiritual law of honor. Remember that honor actually opens up doors for us. Ah, Kingdom Kids. Sorry, guys. Kingdom Kids, if you're 4 to 8 years old, go ahead and line up. Thank you, Mr. Brian Hofer. Look at all those beautiful kids. 4 to 8 years old. We have such gorgeous kids. They're so cute. Every one of them. All right, so as I said, a couple weeks ago, we talked about the spiritual law of honor, that honor actually opens up things for us in the spirit. It's okay. The room's settling, guys. It's okay. We love you, sweet girl. She didn't want to get left behind. When we enter into honor, it opens up for us supernatural blessings. Supernatural blessings. You could be blessed in areas you never sowed or worked in because you honor well. There are people that can come and preach in this pulpit, and they may preach on a subject you haven't spent 5 minutes studying. And because you honor the word on that day, you're just receiving from the Holy Spirit, and you didn't do anything to sow into it but step into honor. And so honor opens up supernatural doors of blessings for us. 1 Samuel 2:30, those who honor me, I will honor, says the Lord. Those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So we want to honor the Lord because the Lord says, if you honor me, I honor you. And part of honoring the Lord is honoring him, honoring his word, honoring authority, walking in a spirit of honor. And so, last week we touched on this. We talked about honoring how children, the principle of children honoring your parents, and all the promises in the word that are opened up to all of us as children, adult children, or children still in the home, all the blessings that come to us when we choose to step into honoring our parents, right? See, honor in the home, and I said this last week, I'm going to say it again, it's actually the cure for a plethora of family dysfunction. Name your family dysfunction, and I can tell you there's a good chance it's going to get better if you operate in honor. Think about all the different family dysfunctions we see. Abuse, control, manipulation, bullying, undercutting each other in parenting. Honor is an antidote for many of the actual dysfunctions that are very common in families. Honor is also the way that we actually display God's love in the family setting. It's one of the ways we put love on display in family is through a spirit of honor, through respect. So you might remember the biblical definition of honor is to value. So when we're talking about today, we're going to still talk about the family, but we're actually going to turn our attention to marriage and how to walk in honor towards husbands, towards wives, wives towards husbands. And you remember that honor means to value, to appreciate, to esteem someone, to think favorably about someone, to regard, to have respect. That's what it means to honor. So let's just zero right in on what honor does in the home in marriage. What does the Bible say about honor in marriage? There's actually so much. I love this message today, and let me tell you why. Last Wednesday was our 26th wedding anniversary. Isn't that awesome? More than a quarter of a century. I know. And I know, like, some of you have got us beat by a decade. I mean, you're just like, you're going for it. How long, Lance and Joy, have you guys been married? almost 39. So you're coming up on 40. I like that. I love that. Anyone got more than has any more than 39 years of marriage? Ah, yes. So it's Kevin and Pam. And welcome, by the way. They're RVers, and they chose to worship with us today on their way through to Colorado. Thank you. Okay, how many years? We're just celebrating today. 42. Woo! That is great. Cecile, are you up to 40? No. Thirty-eight. Okay. Sherry, I have a feeling. Nope. 38, you said? 38. Okay. All right. How about you guys? 36. Bill and Loretta. Awesome. All right. Let's just honor the Lord and marriages that have been lasting for decades. Thank you, Jesus. Honor is one of the foundations of a healthy marriage. And it's also the easiest thing to let go of in our marriages, isn't it? Those that we're closest to, those that we run with in life daily, sometimes they can get the brunt of our frustrations, the brunt of our bad days, our worst. They're the ones that have seen our best moments and certainly our worst moments. I have a few moments that I am so sorry, Jeff, you had to see. Okay. At the same time, he also sees my finest moments, praise Lord. And he's very forgiving, so I'm thankful for that too. So I want to just talk for a minute about the power of actually living free from the curse in your marriage. So we know that in the garden, in the beginning, here was Adam and Eve, husband and wife, partnering together in this beautiful assignment to have dominion over all the earth. And it was a beautiful assignment. Were they working together in harmony to have dominion over the earth? Wonderful. And then here enters sin, disobedience. And as soon as it enters, the Lord calls them, and he says, now this is what you just let into the earth. When sin came in, when you chose to disobey, let me describe to you what you just did. The door of hell that was opened over the earth through sin that will be closed one day when he returns. And it's closed in our lives when we repent and turn to Christ, right? And we become free from the curse. So he looks at Eve in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, and he says to her, I'll sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you'll give birth. Then he says this, and you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. Isn't that interesting? As soon as sin entered the earth, this isn't God's plan for husband and wife. This is the result of sin entering the world. He says to Eve, you're going to want to control him, and he's going to dominate over you. Here enters the power struggle. Who's going to be in control in the marriage? Where the one who is weaker physically can be dominated by the one who is more powerfully physically, the husband, and then the wife is resulting to what? Manipulation, control. How do I get my way? This is the power. Let me tell you some good news. Jesus' destiny for you is not that you find the perfect spouse to have a power struggle with for the rest of your life. That sounds like hell on earth. That's enough to keep you celibate and single forever, isn't it? That is not God's beautiful plan for marriage. That was the result of the curse. How many of you know, though, you can be free from the curse as much as you want to renew your mind, line up with his word, and repent of coming into agreement with sin? Which it doesn't all happen. What the big repentance comes when we come to Christ. We get saved, right? And then it's a series of renewing our mind and repenting and coming into alignment with His truth for the rest of our lives. And right now, for those of you that aren't married, and those of you that are married, I want you to know today could be the day where the power struggle ends. You never again are going to enter into that very ugly, sinful battle. Isn't that good news? This is why you see so much family dysfunction that stems from the curse, where it's all about manipulation and control and intimidation and unhealthy dominance. And one person must be in charge over another in this power struggle that's so icky. Woo! But actually, a godly and fulfilling marriage is about two people coming together who are committed to dying to themselves, laying down their lives and serving. If you're not ready to die to yourself for another person, don't get married, young people. Get mature enough in the Lord that you're ready to serve somebody else for the rest of your life. I hear some amens by some young men over here. I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready. Because God's plan for husband and wife is to actually live in peaceful unity, humbly honoring each other, serving, preferring one another, together, ruling and reigning with Jesus for His glory on this earth. Does that sound familiar? Sound like the Word, right? I think that Paul was maybe thinking about this curse of the power struggle when he wrote Ephesians chapter 5, the famous passage, or maybe 3. I'm sorry, I think I said 5, but I think it's Ephesians. Is Ephesians 5? Okay, I have it right. Ephesians 5, where he talks about husbands and wives in the home. Do you remember this? And he says, he starts out in verse 21, he says, "And further, submit one to another out of reverence for Christ." So here he's going to talk about husbands and wives, and he says, husbands and wives, basically, submit one to another. What does it mean? Serve each other. Love each other. Go humble. And then the next verse, he says, "For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord." It's almost like he had to say, "Yes, wives, give up the power struggle. Submit one to another. Serve each other." Yes, wives, that means release the control. Trust the Lord. You don't need to manipulate your way into what you want. You don't need to control. Set your heart on serving. Set your heart on trusting the Lord in your marriage relationship. And then he turns around a few verses later and he says, "Husbands, this actually means loving your wife as Christ loved the church." What is he saying? And he says, "As I laid down my life for the church, you lay down your life for your wife." What is he saying? Stop with the power struggle, husbands. Quit with the dominance. Don't do the intimidation thing. Don't do the "I'm more powerful than you" thing. No, love her. Wives, submit. Let go of the power struggle. Husbands, love her. Lay down your life for her. This is the way of the kingdom. Isn't that beautiful when you see it through that lens? God is literally freeing us from the curse when we read Ephesians chapter 5. He's saying this is the way to get out from the power struggle cycle. Trust God. Serve. It's not about your way. Ah, isn't that good? So I want to just dive in, talking about wives first. I'm going to have my husband come up and share in a few minutes. I love this. I love it when we do it together. It's really fun. So let me share with you a few very fun verses from Proverbs that will give you ladies a vision for what you do and don't want for your life and for your home. Proverbs 14:1 says this, "A wise woman builds her home." How many of you want to be home builders? Yes. Not home terrors, not tearing it down, building it up, right? "A wise woman builds her home, but a foolish one tears it down with her own hands." And I want to present to you today, when you choose to give up the power struggle, to serve and honor, walking in that spirit of honor, you have just chosen to build your house on Christ. It's a powerful choice to say, I trust you enough, Lord, to produce what you need to produce in my life that I don't need to enter into manipulation or control to make anything happen in marriage or in any other relationship. Whenever you find yourself trying to connive in the background to make something happen, you always know you're out of the spirit. Yes. You always know it. It doesn't, even if you're trying to manipulate your children. We've all done that. Little kids, you can't get them to do what you want them to do. And you're like, if you don't do this, you're like, I'm going to do this and this and this and this. We're just, no, just let your yes be yes and your no be no. Discipline the kid. But don't manipulate. They can feel it. They pick it up. We teach our children, right? But we don't manipulate our children. We instruct our children. We don't control our children. We discipline our children. We don't intimidate and dominate in an unhealthy way over our children. There's a difference. There's a spirit attached to both of them. One, the spirit of God, and the other one, you don't want to touch it. So a wise woman builds her home, I would say, through honor. Proverbs 25:24 says this, and Jeff and I have quoted this scripture many a time in our home. I just want to say he doesn't say it to me. I want to say he's not applying it to me because it's kind of negative. It's better to live in a corner of the roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Like, literally, it's better I just live in a little corner in the attic than with a woman that's naggy all the time and wants to fight. And everyone says amen, not just the men. The women say it too. Amen. Giving us a vision for who we want to be. Proverbs 27:15 says this. Oh, this is good. A constant dripping of on a day of steady rain and a contentious woman, they're alike. You're never enough. You're never doing what I want. Why aren't you doing the dishes? I'm always doing everything by myself. Ooh. Sometimes just step back and say, "Whoa, I got a vision for what I want to be. I'm laying down the nag. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it." But Ephesians 5, verse 33, this passage I just touched on about families. I want to read to you in the Amplified Version how Paul sums up his address to husbands and wives. And I'm just going to read the portion that's to the wives, because later I'm going to read about the portion to the husbands. And this is what he says to the wife. He says, if it's not in the Amplified, it basically says the wife must respect her husband. But the Amplified Version is kind of fun because they take each word and they basically say every synonym that word is meaning, okay? So it kind of gives this full meaning of what does Paul mean when he says, wives, respect your husbands, honor your husband. It says the wife must see to it that she respects and delights in her husband. Isn't that amazing? Respect your husband, but delight in him. How many of you ladies love it when your husband delights in you? When he's like, you are such a blessing to me. Thank you for what you're doing. Thanks for the way that you are serving our children right now. Or thank you for the way that you're bringing leadership to this area of our home. Or thank you for what you're doing when you're, you know, discipling that person, or when you're, you know, thank you for making this meal, or whatever it is that you're doing. Don't you love it when your husband delights in you? I do. I love it. And the Lord says to wives, in the Amplified, it says, respect, delight in your husband. And then it has parentheses where it says, now I'm going to tell you what delight means. This is so great. She, and the wife must see to it that she respects and delights in the husband, that she notices him. Notice him. We are so blessed to have a life partner to run with. Don't let the devil tell you otherwise. Even in the hard times, don't listen to his voice. You're so blessed to have a life partner to run with. Notice him. Wow. Like, I am super one track mind. Like, whatever I'm doing, it's the only thing I'm doing in that moment. Like, I'm not always good. In other words, like, if I'm just into something, I'm into that. I'm concentrating on something. Stop, Adam. Look at him. Notice him. He's worth noticing. It means he's worth, like, oh, you're home. I'm glad you walked through the door. You're not interrupting me. I'm noticing you. I'm taking note that you're here, and I'm grateful for it. It says notice him. Prefer him. What is marriage? Two people that are ready to lay down their lives for each other. It's going to be the husband's turn in just a second. And Jesus gives you a tall order. You have to prefer your wife in the same way that Jesus prefers his bride. Giving everything. Wow, right? So what's the wife to do? Prefer him. Think about his feelings. Think about what he needs in the moment. Does he need encouragement? Does he need attention? Are you a stay-at-home mom and he works 50 hours a week and when he comes home, he doesn't need a honey-do list? Maybe he needs like 30 minutes to like stare at a wall because he just needs to decompress? I mean, really, honestly, these are really practical things. Like, prefer him. Like, and I know how that is sometimes. Like, you know, when I was a stay-at-home mom, now life is different. My life was just the diapers and the, you know, you kind of just get this honey-do list in your mind. Like, oh, when Jeff gets home, I need him to do, that's kind of heavy. I need him to move that for me. And I need him to hang that thing on the wall. And why hasn't he bought that toilet flapper? Because for the last 2 months, we've had to reach into the back of the toilet and like flush it that way. And, you know, and then it's just easy like that. He just walks through the door. You're like, oh, great, you're home. Take the kids, hang the picture. And he's like, I'm really tired. So what do we do, though? We step back and we think, oh, my goodness, I'm going to serve in this moment. Let me prefer him. Treat him with loving concern. Isn't that beautiful? How many of us ladies love to be treated with loving concern? I think part of this, treating him with love and concern, and a few of the things we're just going to, and then I'll just read it. It's treasuring him. Just let that sink in. This is a beautiful verse. Treasuring him, honoring him, the whole thing we're talking about today, and holding him dear. Part of this is just finding out what makes your spouse feel loved. Does he need you to give him hugs? Does he need you to hold his hand? Does he need you to speak affirming words to him? Does he need you to just like give quality time to him on a regular basis? What makes him feel loved and affirmed? What makes him feel treasured, right? See, as wives, I guarantee you there's nobody in all the world that your husband cares more about their opinion than you. And I'm sure it's vice versa. Nobody. And we can either be the wise woman that builds up our home or slip into disrespect and tear it down, right? It's a constant battle, and it's a journey of repenting continually. Oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. I just had a terrible tone there. That was ridiculous. I am so sorry. You know, it's okay. And what do? We just constantly repenting, right? When we slip off track. But what an honor to have someone to run next to in life that your opinion of them means more than anyone other's opinion on the face of the earth. You have the key to building up your husband through love, adoration, and treasuring him and honoring him and respecting him. You have a key and a way to do that that nobody else on the face of the earth has. Not his boss, not his own father, you. Jeff, I want you to come up right now. I'd love for you to share. We were talking about this beforehand. Jeff's going to share a few things that a wife honoring a husband brings to the home because it releases something. Honor is a supernatural principle. When we enter into it, it literally changes things, changes realities, changes atmospheres. And so I just want you to share from your opinion, what are some of the things that honor brings to a home through a wife honoring specifically?
Okay. Yeah, and I'll just share from, you know, I am a husband, I'll give you an inside view into my heart and the way I tick. And I know a lot of men. I've discipled a lot of men. And I think this is true across the board for men, okay? For wives, your opinion matters more to us than anybody else's opinion in the world. I'll say it, me. But it applies to your husband too. I want to be a good man. Like, that's what I really want. Like, I want to be a good man. No little boy grows up like wanting to be a horrible father and to be a horrible husband. And we grow up, I want to be a good man. I want to be a great husband. You know, we dream that one day I'm going to be a great husband and my wife is going to look at me like I hung the stars in the sky and she's going to be, I get to be married to this man. Out of all the men in the world, I can't believe that God gave me you. I got his very best. This is what we dream of being to our wives. This is the kind of father we want to be. Like, I want to be a great father. Like, it matters to me so much. And when my wife's opinion, it matters more to me because she knows me better than everybody else. She sees me more than everybody else. Other than the Lord, there is no human being whose opinion matters more to me than my wife. I would say her opinion carries more impact in the way it affects me than even my own father. You know, and I want to please my dad and make him proud, but as a human being, there is no human being other than my wife that I want to please. And your husband, it is hard. It is hard to live in this world, and you have to fight through constantly. You have to fight through so much to be a good, righteous man. You have to fight to be a good father. It's hard to be a good father, you know? And there's some things that are easy, and then there's a lot of moments where it's really hard, and you have to die to self. Sometimes it's really hard to be a good husband, you know what I mean? Because there's spiritual warfare, and there's my own flesh. There's the weakness of my own flesh and having to learn to die to myself and prefer her and my children over myself. But your husband wants to be a good provider. He wants to be respected. But you know what? I can endure all kinds of hardship and dishonor and disrespect and warfare coming from all kinds of different angles if I know my wife believes in me. Amen. When I feel my wife is with me, well, I could be frustrated over, gosh, I want to see this in my work and just break through my work and it's not happening. I'm trying my best and I'm failing. What am I doing wrong? But she's like, honey, you're a great man. You're doing good. When I feel that from her, it just gives me courage. It gives me power to persevere, to pick myself up and keep moving forward. When I fail as a husband, which has happened tons of times, when I fail as a father, happened tons of times, you know, when she looks at me, I remember one of the times that I failed as a husband, father, over something. I did something wrong. And I remember it bothered me so bad because I want to be a great husband. And I was bummed. I mean, I was like feeling heavy over it. And I remember she said these words to me. She's like, honey, she goes, there's grace for you too. there's grace for you too. And I remember like those words were like power from God to help me pick myself up and keep on pressing forward and being a good husband and a good father and a good man. And so I just want to encourage you. And this is, I think honestly, I don't think wives really understand the power. I don't think you understand the power that your support, the weight that it carries with your husband. I think the devil lies. This is my guess. I don't know. I'm not a woman. But I would guess this is so important that I would guess this would be an area the devil would attack wives. That he would try and convince them, your husband doesn't care about what you think, to make you frustrated, to make you nag and complain, to tear him down. Because I can endure different things, but if I feel that my wife doesn't believe in me, there's nothing more painful. It's like cutting my legs out from under me, honestly. Trying to stand, it's the most difficult, painful thing it would be. But when she's with me, I feel strengthened. And I think Hollywood a lot of times actually captures it. There's a lot of times I see in movie, there's these really strong female characters, you know, wives, who like their husband are doing great things and their wife is like strengthening them when everything is against them. And it moves me so much when I see these movies. I'll give you one, right? It's going to sound silly, but The Lion King. Nala. Dude, Nala. Simba hit the jackpot when he married Nala. Okay? So, no, but for real, like, you know what? Like, he's gone through a horrible tragedy. Injustice happens in his life, and he's got the weight of the world that he is supposed to be on his shoulders. He's supposed to rule as king, and he's just like, it's too much for him because he's wounded and all this kind of stuff. And you know what happens is, I'm just going to put this in God terms, okay? I'm going to preach it, even though Disney wasn't thinking this, but God raised up Nala. And Nala, God sent Nala to go find Simba. And when she came and she was like, I believe in you. You are the true king. And you're going to do this. And I'm going to stand with you. And I'm going to rally the lionesses. And we're all going to stand with you. And he's like, he gets the strength he needs from a woman. And I think that is like, God looks at Adam and he goes, it's not good for man to be alone. He needs a helpmate. And I'm going to create the ideal helpmate. I'm going to create her to be the exact thing that he needs to empower him to be what I've called him to be and do what I've called him to do. I'm creating a woman. And I'm giving her to him as a wife. And that's the power of it. And so I just want to encourage you ladies, like, you have so much weight. You have so much authority and power to strengthen or to cripple your husband. And I'll say that, you know, I would say this to the husbands too, but you're going to give an account to God, ladies. You will stand before the Lord at the judgment and you'll give an account to God. Did you empower your husband to be the man that God called him to be, to carry the weight God called him to carry? Or did you cripple him? Did you undercut him? You know, did you do that? And of course, none of us do this perfectly. We all fail many times. But when you set your vision on, this is what I'm aiming at, this is my bullseye, I'm going to honor my husband, or why husbands, you know, your side of it later on. When you have that vision, you recognize when you get off of it and you're like, ah, forgive me. And you can repent and get right back on track. The grace of God will cover it. And anyway, so is there anything else you want me to share, babe? Oh, there were a couple of practices. So I'm just talking about the impact that an honoring wife has on her husband. And then in her home, we were talking about this the other day, and I was just, here's the deal though. When a wife honors her husband, you know what it does to the son in the home? When he sees this mom that he respects and loves, and she's like, your dad is a great man. You know what that happens in that little boy? He's like, my dad is a great man. I want to be like my dad. And it just solidifies in his heart, I'm going to be a great man like my daddy. Do you know the gift a wife can give her, a mom can give her son by honoring her husband? It's powerful. And you know what it does in the daughter? When she's like, honey, your dad's a great man. He's an outstanding husband. And then the little girl's like, my dad is a good man. I now have a clear picture of what I'm looking for in the man that I'm going to marry someday. I want to marry a good man like my daddy. So powerful. Profound impact of a wife that honors her husband.
That was great. I could have listened to that all day. Wasn't that good? Wow. I love that. Let's talk about husbands for a minute. How husbands are actually commanded by the Lord to honor their wives. It says, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. I'm going to read in the Amplified because I just love how they expound on each word. Each man among you, without exception, is to love his wife as his very own self, with behavior worthy of respect and esteem, always seeking the best for her with an attitude of loving kindness. Isn't that good, guys? Isn't that something to shoot for? Isn't that good to put right before you as a vision? How do I honor my wife? I'm going to read it again. It says, each man among you without exception. I love that. Guys, none of you are excluded. All of you are included. Jesus is writing this straight to you. You're to love his wife as his very own self. Something that I know about guys is they love themselves. I actually say this in a very cute way. If you have a son, moms, and you come into the bathroom at any given time, what do you see? It's okay. I'm glad you boys love yourselves. There's a lot to love there. You're amazing. And it doesn't matter even if you're a little bit older and your six-pack is turned into one-pack and you're still like, oh, I squeeze hard enough, I've got it. And what does he say? Love your wife like you love yourself. I'm being funny. I'm not running down any guy. I'm just saying, what do? We care for ourselves, right? When you're hungry, men, you feed yourself. When you're tired, you give yourself rest. When you need a break, you go fishing. What do? Love your wife as you love yourself. As you would think about caring for your own needs. Husbands, think about caring for your wife, right? And what does it say? With behavior, now we're talking, what does that actually look like? What is your behavior? With behavior worthy of respect and esteem. Amen. There's that honor word, respect, and esteem. What does it mean to esteem? It means to consider someone to be, like, to lift them up. To say, I highly honor you. Esteem is to say, I respect you so much. To esteem them. Always seeking the best for your wife. With an attitude, attitude's everything, right? With an attitude of loving kindness. I know I hit the jackpot. I'm loved so well. I am loved so well. I am so grateful to Jeff and to the Lord. Because I was only 19 when I got married. I could have really messed up my entire life. What did I know? I mean, I thought I knew more than I knew now. Now I know way less than I knew at 19, I promise you. And God was so gracious to give me an amazing life partner. Oh, I'm so thankful. Let's look at 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, how many of you like to know that your prayers are heard by the Lord? Yeah. Men in the room, married or unmarried, when you pray, how many of you want to know, God hears me? Stanley, Jake, okay, we got a couple. Nah, I see it. Let me tell you how to make sure your prayers are heard, because the Lord says exactly how to do it. This is interesting. 1 Peter 3:7 says, in the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wife. I'm going to read the definition of honor again. What do you give value to your wife. She's not your servant. She seeks to serve you. She's not your slave. She's not your workhorse. Don't take her for granted. She's not your doormat. She's not your... You don't take your frustration out on her. We seek to honor, it says, to value, that means, to appreciate. Thank you can go a long ways. I have to say, I'm not sure if we've had a family meal in my entire marriage of 26 years that Jeff hasn't thanked me for it. Now, don't tell him, what are you going to say? You haven't said it yet. Please and thank you. You know what? I never even have to think about it. Because he's like, oh my goodness, this meal was amazing. Thank you. It was brats and frozen french fries. You're welcome, honey. You're amazing and very easy to please. No, but he acknowledges when I spent a couple hours in the kitchen. And I'm like, well, thank you. I mean, I didn't do it for the thank you. But you know what? The appreciation goes a long ways, doesn't it? How many ladies love to be appreciated? Husbands and future husbands. To honor your wife, one of the definitions of honor is appreciate. Besides, don't we even teach our children good manners? Please and thank you, please and thank you, please and thank you. Don't we tell our children, if you want to be welcomed at someone else's home, learn please and thank you, right? So learn to appreciate her. It's one of the definitions of honor. What's the rest of the definition of honor? To esteem her, there's that word, to lift her up. To make her great, esteem her, cause her to flourish, treat her favorably. You're my favorite. Regard her and respect her. And this is the truth. It says right here in the next verse, she's your equal partner in God's new gift of life. Respect her. So husbands must give honor. I just read the definition to your wife. And then it says, treat your wife with understanding as you live together. I think this might take work. It takes work to have a good marriage. I think it takes work, husbands, to maybe sit and think for a little, what is she going through? Not, oh goodness, she's being so dramatic. It's not that big of a deal. What does it say? Treat her with understanding. Try to take a moment. What is she going through? Is she having a hard time? Why is she feeling emotional? Why is she having a hard time here at work or at home? Treat her with understanding as you live together. And then it says this line, she may be weaker than you are, but she's your equal partner in God's gift of new life. What does that mean? I don't think anyone in the room probably thinks that wives are weaker intellectually than husbands or even weaker emotionally. But you know what? Women in general are weaker physically. And they have been since the beginning. And in general, I would say, I know there's some few very amazing and strong women in here, physically strong. Women are weaker physically, and they're at a disadvantage in most cultures. It's a little different in America, I think. But there's many cultures even where just being a woman puts you in a weakened position in the culture. A position where you may not have a voice. A position where you may not have the same respect when you walk in a room. Certainly the position where you're not physically as strong and could be bullied. In some cultures, it's very, very common for women to be intimidated by men and men to intimidate women on purpose as just a cultural norm. It's not okay. That's not godly. But Peter actually says, she may be weaker than you are. Like, treat her with understanding. There may be situations, because just because she's a woman, she's at a disadvantage in that moment. Be understanding towards her. And remember, she's your equal partner in the inheritance in Christ. She may look weaker sometimes physically or weaker in situations, in certain cultures, in certain circles. She may not have the same clout as you. Did you not have the same? I mean, like I said, guys, I know this was, remember, this was written 2,000 years ago in Israel or in that part of the world. women were very much at a disadvantage. But he says, even in that moment, remember, she's equal in God's gift of eternal life. Like, you're going to come before the throne and be on equal ground. And then it says, treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. Remember, I asked you how many of you men want your prayers to be heard? Disrespect shuts down the flow of God's Spirit on your life. It really does. I'm not saying it's costing you your salvation if you're disrespectful. I am saying, though, God's not afraid to put you in time out to defend his daughter. And we have had I have a perfect husband. I love him. I adore him. But we've more than once where we have gotten in an argument and then he went to go pray and the Lord's like, we have nothing to say. Like Jeff has shared this testimony publicly. We have nothing to say until you go get this thing right with Autumn because you just sinned against her. And meanwhile, when he comes and he repents, I'm like, thank you, God. Wow. Look it. I don't have to manipulate or control. I got a father in heaven taking care of it, right? I can say, I forgive, Lord. Just take care of him as you see fit. And he does that for Jeff's heart, and he does that for my heart, right? He does it for Jeff's heart. He's like, I want you to walk in honor so you can get this blessing flowing. And he's like, Autumn, I want you to trust me. You don't have to, like, yell and scream to get your way or nag or enter into some power struggle. You can just trust. I know what I'm doing. Serve each other. Isn't that a cool verse? I'm going to list a couple things that a husband and a father's honor brings to a home, or a husband's honor. A lot of these are benefits for your children. But I want to inspire husbands to reach for something like, and I just understand that many of us pick things up as a product of the homes that we grew up in, environments that we grew up in. But I also want to encourage you that Jesus died so we could live better, freer, more fulfilling. He died so we could be free from the curse, the power struggle. So here's a few things, husbands, that your honor brings to a home. You honoring your wife, this is what it does. Your sons will know how to respect a woman because you respect your wife. All of us in this room want to raise respectful sons. Daddies, if you want respectful sons, honor your wife and your son will follow. Super powerful. Your daughters, daddies, your daughters will grow up expecting respect and honor from men if you are honoring your wife. You know what? A daughter, all of a sudden, she gets in a situation where a man is disrespecting her, and it doesn't feel normal. It feels like, whoa, that is not okay. And that's exactly how she should feel. If she's dating someone and they're not respecting boundaries, she should know what respect has looked like in her home. She has seen respect modeled. It's a powerful thing. Husbands, you have so much power in your home in this area. Your children will have a greater chance of choosing high caliber, godly spouses because you modeled honor in the home. It sets a whole new bar for what they actually want for a marriage and what they want in a spouse. Just because you've chosen, I'm not going to make my home a yelling match all the time. We're going to be respectful. We're going to be honoring. Here's another benefit. Your children will have better behavior at school and at home. This is true. Yeah. Husbands who honor their wives and model it have children that go to school that have less problems. They'll have less problems with teachers. They'll have less problems with coaches. And they'll have less problems with peers. Because they have seen on display what it looks like to walk in honor. This is beautiful. Your wife will have a better relationship with your kids if you honor her well. That's good. That's This one has meant the world to me. Because, you know, all of us mamas, our kiddos are just everything, right? We love our kids. Many, many times when Malachi said, "Mom, you're my best friend," I have turned around later and privately said to Jeff, "Thank you for honoring me in this home." Because Malachi honors me. Because you modeled it. And I know that a lot of the closeness that I feel with my children and the bond that we have and the peace that we have in our home is because I have a husband who's chosen the path of honor. And so they don't have to get over having seen something else modeled in front of them and me be the only one in the home to say, "Don't talk to me like that. You can't say that like that. Don't be disrespectful." They know what respect looks like. And they know when they've wavered from it, right? And that's what we want for our children. Let me tell you something else. And everyone's going to get excited about this if you have children. Your children will need less discipline if you, husbands, if you just honor your wife. It's really true. There will be less disciplinary issues, period, in the home if there's just mutual honor and respect between husbands and wives. And this is something we all want. But daddies, when you honor your wives, and it goes both ways, the peace level in your home will be significantly higher because you honored. And I think every man can say, "Amen, I want peace in my home," right? Proverbs 31:28 says this. Proverbs 31 is this amazing chapter about, we call it the Proverbs 31 wife, you know. It's someone talking about this amazing woman. And it's actually a person they're writing about and, you know, praising her for being so really, I can never attain to what is happening in this passage. I mean, she, of course, I always say, well, you know, I don't have servants, because it always says, she orders her servants around and tells them what to do. I'm like, well, if I had servants, I think we could get some things done around here, right? She finds a field and buys it. Yeah, because she has servants to work the field. Anyway, it's awesome. I love it, though, because her husband's rising up and saying something about her. And this is what it says in verse 28. Her children stand and bless her. And then listen to this. Her husband praises her. Maybe one of the reasons the Proverb 31 woman can be so amazing, one of the reasons, is because she has a husband who stands up and praises her. Not belittles her, not makes her the butt of jokes, but he praises her. He desires to see her flourish in all her callings and giftings. And so because he's positioned herself to praise her, boy, all of the best is coming out. Isn't that how all of us are? The best comes out when we're in the right environment. And this is what he says about her. Her husband praises her, and he says, "There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all." Jeff proposed to me with that verse. Side note. Just remembering it right now. Yeah, it was pretty sweet. So her husband's publicly standing up and saying, "There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all." Charm is deceptive. Beauty does not last. But a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. And what I want to say about this is, husbands, I want to encourage you to publicly praise your wife. I think Jeff takes this a little too far, and I'm really embarrassed often. But I'm afraid to tell him to stop, because I would hate for it all to stop, right? No, I really encourage you, and I know that this is a stretch for some of us, whether we're husbands or we're wives, it can be a stretch for us. We were raised in homes where we weren't out there with our thoughts or our feelings or whatever. But I encourage you, be the Proverbs 31 husband so your wife can be the Proverbs 31 wife. Publicly praise her. What is she doing good? I mean, publicly, yeah, it could be publicly on a mic, but publicly is around the dinner table. Kids, oh my goodness, didn't your mom make an amazing dinner tonight? We need to thank her. It's her birthday. What do you guys love about her? You know, publicly praise your wife. Don't hold it in. The more you say it, the more you'll feel it too. And that's always nice, right? It will bless her. It will make her come alive. She will be a better wife to you when you point out all the things you love about her. All right, why don't we stand up? And I want to just read a list, 1, 2, 3, kind of to read it through, what honor looks like in a home. This is the conclusion. And I want to say, like, I don't want anyone to walk away feeling heavy, defeated today. If you have failed in this area, welcome to the club of the failed, right? We have all failed. But it's a new day, right? It's a new day. We got a new nature. And we're excited, aren't we, when the Lord puts a vision before us of something great that he has for us. So I encourage you, don't take on condemnation or shame if you're like, oh, I've not done well in this, or boy, I have not been honoring my children, my husband, my wife, whatever it is. Instead, repent, receive forgiveness, and let this be a new day where you're like, I want to take this to a new level. This is what honor can look like in a home. And I just encourage you just to be like, yes, Lord, this is what I want. Number one, honor looks like fighting fair. Conflict is inevitable. Combat is always optional. You do not have to have combat, even if you have conflict. Fight fair. Fight nice. Number two, listen. Honor looks like listening. Not cutting someone off. Just listening. Just holding your tongue. Okay. Nod. All right. You don't have to think about the next thing you're going to say back. Honor looks like listening. Honor looks like watching your tone. It's so practical, right? Respectful communication. Repenting when the tone gets wrong, a little snippy. What do you mean, dear? Oh, I'm sorry. What did I say that? We all done it, right? Honor looks like a gentle response. What is, I believe it's in Proverbs, it says, a gentle answer turns away wrath. Be the one who defuses instead of escalates in your home. What's happening? Honor looks like communicating at wise moments. You don't have to say it just because you think it right then. Step back. When's the right moment for me to bring this? Honor looks like guarding your eyes, your thoughts, and your heart. Keeping your heart pure. Honor your wife through not entertaining impure things. Wives, honor your husband by guarding your eyes and your mind and your thoughts. Honor looks like speaking life, even when there's not any there. When it looks like there's nothing good happening, speaking God's word. Honor looks like praying and declaring over your marriage and your spouse the promises of God. Honor looks like taking your struggles to God first before to your spouse. Honor looks like praying for them in their weak moments instead of accusing. Let's just close our eyes. Lord, we all want to be like you in this area. And Lord, I thank you, and I actually worship you for every marriage in this room. Spouses who are present and spouses who are not present, I thank you, Lord, that you caused two to become one. I thank you, Lord, that you have purpose. You have redemption. You have glory to bring out of the marriages represented in this room. And Lord, I pray you would strengthen us to walk this path of honor. I pray you would help us, Lord, to repent quickly when we slip into disrespect. And to re-sign up, to serve, to make each other great. Lord, would you anoint us to be encouragers to the spouses that we have? Would you anoint us, Lord, to speak truth and life and love to those that are closest in our home? Thank you, Lord, and bless any marriage in this room that's struggling. We just pray, God. We say, Lord, lift the heavy load. Bring in the spirit of peace. Father, bring in the solution. Lord, I pray just, God, for blessing over families, Lord, connected to James River Church. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I love you all. God bless you and have a great day. Oh, baptism. Don't forget baptisms, though. Right after this, we're going straight to Ravine Lake, baptizing Apologetic.